The title for today is Jesus will use your ouch for good. Jesus will use your ouch for good. And in brackets there it says, if you will let him. Let's say that aloud. Jesus will use your ouch for good if you will let him. The aim of this morning is a message of hope and resilience and expectation that you can have that even in your ouch situations of life, God can use them for good. If you've got your mobile phones with you today, this is a mobile phone. Can you take it out of your pockets, please? It's nothing scary. You don't have to be frightened. Mobile phones out. And then I want you to look at your screen saver. What is a screen saver? A screen saver is usually a picture or some words of something that gets your attention. It might be members of your family. You might have a picture of your family or of your girlfriend. But if you're married, I hope that's not there. It might be a Bible verse. It might be a hobby. It might be all sorts of things. Tell me some of the screensavers you've got. Who's willing to shout out? Grandson when a baby. Was he nice then? Has he gone bad now? And you don't.
I got one.
Go on.
My girlfriend.
Go on. Okay, you got your girlfriend on there. Excellent. Others. At the back.
Family.
Family. Yeah.
There's one behind me. She said family.
Family, yes.
Paul and I in Cape Town.
Paul and I in Cape Town. Lovely. Any others?
Beautiful trees.
Waterfall.
Waterfall. Okay, that will do. Now, some of you are here today and you do not have a screensaver. You don't even have a mobile phone. You can't even spell the word. No problem. Folks, today, you have a piece of paper, looks like that. That is your screensaver. Now, I want you to engage with this because this is going to be your takeout, actually, by the end. On here, the front of it, I want you to draw or write down a screensaver. So if something really important to you is your family, write your family down. If it's something in nature, write that down. It's not a competition, it's what really touches you. And you can draw it. You've only got about a minute and a half to do that in. That includes you, Tom. Have you got any? Is there any pieces of paper? Lacey, stand up for me. Has anybody not got one of these pieces of paper? Does anybody not understand what to do? Okay, folks, that's enough. You can carry on drawing if you want to and keep an ear on me as well. I have some sweets. Oh, Lacey's got some sweets here. And there'll be competition opportunities. The first question I've got for you is worth 3 sweets. Can you guess what my screensaver is? It's been up for about 6 months. What do you think my screensaver? Kingfisher, that's a good one. Oh, Jan, yeah. It's not that, though. Monica, good one, but no.
Family.
Believe in God.
Believe in God, good ones. All good, but wrong. Last chance. Church building. No. No, I'm sure it's lovely and all that.
Your old church building?
No, neither that one. Okay, let's have a look, see what I've got. That's my screensaver. It's very sad, isn't it? Sweet. for somebody. Where is that? Oh, wait a minute. There's too many sweets. You're not having any sweets for that. Yeah, this is Western Arches. Near, if you go to last week's online supplement, I'm there. I'm standing to the left of this picture. Or is it to the right? I think it was to the right of the picture. Yes. This is taken about 150 years ago. It's not a photograph, it's a drawing. And the chap drawing it wanted to get over the change that was taking place in Chippenham from the good old days into the modern times, the Victorian times. So he's got the railway arches there, and they're brand spanking new. Underneath, there's a farmer taking his cows and his pigs to market, like in the old days. I've got it there because it always inspires a question in me. In my situations of change that are ongoing all the time, in my outages of life, where am I in that picture? Am I somebody who's going with the new and with the train and this crazy new technology and this architecture? Or am I with the farmer who's thinking, I think I'll stick to what I know? Or am I like I was in on the video, I'm a spectator? Now, none of those are wrong, but it can be, where is our starting point with anything that is different or change? The thing is not to necessarily stay where you are. I also got, like, there's a little pig there. It's separate from all the other little pigs. Sometimes we can feel like that, can't we? Bit separate, bit different. Trying to wander off. Go on, what was that? That's your takeaway thought for the day. At this point this morning, Faye was going to come up and share something with us, some testimony and something that you felt was really important. I wanted her to do it. She shared it at prayer meeting last Thursday. And if you don't go to prayer meeting, you don't go on Zoom, then you are welcome to that on a Thursday evening. Look it up in the notices. Anyway, she rang me this morning at 8 o'clock. When somebody rings me at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, it's usually because somebody's passed away. So I was all ready for it. And it was Faye. But Faye's got a cold, that's all. So we're all right. So don't worry, Faye, you can't help it. God bless you, stay at home. If you do get a cold, stay at home. That's what I tell everybody at the moment. It was an ouch for me, a little ouch. Oh, that's a shame. That really worked well. Not to worry, though. Think of the ouches that you've had this past week. Maybe the past month. Maybe the ouches that you are bringing today. How do you express the ouch? What kind of sounds do you make? I've given you one ouch. What kind of words do you use? Not the naughty words. Think about that for a second. Then I want to hear some of them. What kind of language do we use? What kind of sounds do we use when something that gives us the ooh, the ouch, the pain? Paul. Yeah. Give me one. Okay, this one. Ah. Corinne goes, oh, diddle. Yeah, you can be angry. What about actual words? Botheration. Very interesting English coming out here. Anything else? Or are you all very serene and gentle and nice? What did you say? Pants. Oh, pants. Okay, hang on there. Help. Yes, help. Oh, wow, help. Some things are small, some things aren't small. Let's have a look. Next slide, please. That's on your phone, an emoji. Most of you know what an emoji is. There's the ouch. Ooh, that hurts. Next one. Here's another example. Ah, yes, I have homework, but I left it at school. That, oh, no. Oh, dear. And sometimes that's a bit of a play acting because they deliberately left it at home. Oh, at school. Oh. Next one. You're just going to have a nice time and a parrot comes along and bites your ear. Well, next one. TV program, Operation Ouch. That's what life can be like. My kids love this program. It's full of gore and blood and all sorts of things that you don't want to talk about on a Sunday morning. They love it. It's Ouch personified. You've got your screensaver. I want you to flip it round now. What is the... I want you to do a drawing of an ouch, or I want you to write down the words that you use when life goes wrong. When you're living the screensaver life and suddenly, poof. When, for example, let me use one of my examples. This last week on Friday, I went to Tammy's cake do. Tammy down the road there for Macmillan's. I bought cakes for having for tea, and there were chocolate cakes. There were some lovely vanilla cakes. I got two slices of that, and then a gluten-free one for Monica. I bring them home. I'm all excited. Look what I've done. And then we get home, and then it's the end of the day, and we all have it for pudding. We have very nice chocolate cake. We enjoy that. And then we open the next box up, and the next box was the thing I was really looking forward to, the vanilla cake. We open up the vanilla cake, and there is no vanilla cake there. Instead, there is flapjacks. And all the flapjacks are broken up. What's happened? Now, I thought, that was it all for me. Because I was really looking forward to that. Got a text message yesterday from Tammy, who today is in Cornwall. And she says to me, whoops, you didn't get the right one. But she's enjoying it instead. Positively, with a bit of time, when she comes back from Cornwall, she's going to bake me a vanilla cake. So it's all ending well in the end. You will have had those experiences this week. Write them on the back of that piece of paper, because you need it. You'll need it. Right. Let's dig deeper. I'm keeping an eye on the time. We will land on time. You can start praying now for that if you want. I want to tell you a true story. Can we move on to the next, that one again? That's our study. Jesus used your ouches for good. 7 years ago, Monica and I had an ouch and an ooh dilemma. How to decide. We have gone through a process of being open for adoption and being willing to adopt. And we got approved and all the rest of it. And then we came to the point, well, who are we going to have? Couldn't decide. Too difficult. How can you choose? So in the end, we decided, well, we won't choose. We'll wait and see if God does something. Something that will make it clear. So we waited and we waited. And then there was a phone call one day from an agency who rang us up and said, this is the only phone call we ever had. And they said, we think, we've seen your profiles, we think there's somebody for you. We've got 3 children. We think you should have these, this family. They match you. Are you up for it? And we said, yes. Because we felt, oh, hang on, God's up to something here. This is different. This is what we're looking for. Somebody else has decided. 2 weeks before decision day. And decision day means that you sit before a panel of people. You go through another process. You sit before a panel of about 10 people and they interview you. Are you a match? It's a scary thing. 2 weeks before this meeting, it was, so what month was it in? Do you remember? July. So let's say it was the 15th of July. 1st of July, I have to go to a church service on a Wednesday evening. It's a hot day. It's not my church. I've been asked to go to it, and there's a special speaker, and I'm sitting near the front with a vicar friend of mine who's sitting next door to me. It's an Australian minister, and he's talking away, and I'm not really listening. I'm tired. It's too hot. I'm kind of dreaming, and I'm keeping an eye on everybody here. Make sure you're not doing that. And he stops the service, and he says, there's somebody here that's got a really important occasion on the 15th of July, and it's a meeting that's going to completely change your life. My vicar friend pokes me in the ribs and says, hey, that's you. And I said, you what? And then I realized, oh my goodness, there's my meeting, and he starts talking about my situation. And I think, oh wow. So I own up, that's me. And then he says to me this. He says, God's saying to you that you're going to be blessed like the household of Obed-Edom. And I look like you lot do. You what? Well, who's Obed-Edom? I looked at my vicar friend. Who's that? And he looked at me. I don't know. Obed-Edom. I'm going to introduce you to Obed-Edom to help us understand our message today. Obed-Edom lived in the time of King David. Obed-Edom was temporarily, for a short while, looking after the Ark of the Covenant. And he was looking after it in his house. And while it was in his house, there was great blessing. First question you want to ask is, what's the Ark of the Covenant? Now that is a sermon in itself. So in three lines, this is how God expressed his presence to his people in the First Testament of the Bible. Wherever the people were, God was there present, represented there, but physically there as well, or spiritually there. Now, God could be anywhere, but it was in particular places at particular times. Since Jesus has come, since the Holy Spirit has come, then the Holy Spirit is here now and is everywhere and at work. But it was more specific in the past, more places. The Ark of the Covenant, and this Ark of the Covenant was with Obed-Edom. Why was it with Obed-Edom? It was being brought to Jerusalem, the main city of God's people, to remain there permanently. But then something shockingly went wrong. It was a major ouch and a ouch and more. And the Bible reading for that is from 2 Samuel chapter 6. So, Megan, if you're possible, can you flip that over for us? I'm going to read a few verses from it. Give us the context and help us move forward. So the ark is on the move. It's on a brand new cart and it's being moved to Jerusalem. And David and many of his followers are worshipping and celebrating as it moves towards Jerusalem. Verse 6. Then they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, and Uzzah reached out and took hold of the ark of God because the oxen had stumbled. So far, understand what's going on. But the Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down and he died there beside the ark of God. So the ark is shaking on this cart. He grabs hold of it, Uzzah, and bang, he's dead. Now that's a pretty big ouch, isn't it? We see here in part then that the holiness, the perfection of God's presence in that moment. And here is a broken, fallen person, sinful, trying to touch God in effect. Can't be done. And bang, he's out. How did David feel? Verse 8. David was angry because of the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah. Verse 9, David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how can the ark of the Lord ever come to me? He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom. Verse 11, the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. And Obed-Edom, you find out in other scripture verses, continued to be blessed in different ways. Specifically, it was with family. There's David, he's super excited. The ark is coming to Jerusalem. But then he has a devastating situation. And he spends 3 months in a funk, in a mood, being angry. It's not fair. It's not right. How can this have happened? But in this 3 months, it's a time of preparation. It's a time for David to change his thinking, to change his perspective, and to take health and safety measures. Firstly, he hears about Obed-Edom, and he's been really blessed. And he says, I'm not in a right relationship with God, so I want to get right, because I want to be blessed. I want to be in God's presence. I'm missing out. But if I'm going to take the ark to Jerusalem, I've got to prepare. And if you read on that chapter for homework, he prepares a special tent. And eventually he comes up with the thought, I want to build a temple. And God says to him, no, I don't want you to build it, but I want your son Solomon to build a temple. Of which, if you read on in the scriptures, Obed-Edom is part of that program. So they build a special tent. So that lots of people don't get killed in the awesome presence of God. And David decides to give due reverence and awe to God, and he wants the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem, and that's what takes place. But it takes time. Next slide, please, of the PowerPoint. So it's PowerPoint number 9. There we go. Now here's the complicated bit. Think of your screensaver. You're living the screensaver life. It's good. Grandchildren are happy. You're enjoying the waterfall. Beautiful trees. Suddenly there's an ouch. And ooh, it feels like a stomach punch. The other side of your situation, of your screensaver. But in that moment, in that time, between the ouch and a future blessing, is active waiting, is preparation time for those changes that need to take place. I'm calling it liminal space. Talked about that a little bit before. Liminal space. What's gone past is past. What's to come, it's coming, but it hasn't come. And you're in in-between time. And the in-between time is lots of challenge and change and perspective movements. You get it a lot through Scripture. Because that's the main area where God works, most primarily. When all life's really good, you see you're enjoying the trees and the waterfalls and the grandkids and all the rest of it, life's good. You don't need God so much. You think you don't, but you do, but you think you don't. But when you get the ouch, suddenly you think, wait a minute. Wait a minute. When you're in the ouch situation, you need to feel that ouch. You need to experience that. That's completely normal and appropriate. But what is the problem is if you stay there. The thing to do is to move the ouch to God. And when we do that, the problem gets a better proportion and God gets bigger. But when we stay in the ouch, God gets smaller and the ouch gets even bigger and more painful. It's counterintuitive almost. It's counter to how you think. Spend all your time on the problem. Oh, hang on. But actually, God says, spend the time on me. So there's that preparation time. And it is time. There is waiting. And if you're like me, you don't like waiting. We live in an instant age of Google and Instagram and TikTok and all the rest of it. We get it right straight away. But God doesn't work with that timetable. And God needs to get us into shape. Simple illustration that involves us all. If you said to me in 2019, I've got a good idea. Let's close the churches, the buildings. I'd have said, no, you can't do that. That ain't going to work. That's no good. That's a bit dumb. Are you sure? You know, think it through. It is an ouch, and it is an ooh, and it is difficult. And it was difficult, and who knows what will happen come Christmas or in the new year. But in that, what's happened? People have developed new ministries. People have been able to release new giftings, new possibilities of connecting with people. It's been difficult, but God has been at work, and new opportunities have arisen. Because God can use our ouches for good, and he can do that in communities. And often, though, getting used to change and adapting and carrying that on and keeping it going as part of life. In the scripture reading of this chapter, chapter 2, you've got the experience of David moving from ouch, going through the preparation time and then blessing. But at the same time, you've got his wife, Michal, to get it, say it right, Michal. I don't know whether it's exactly right. Hebrew was never my strongest thing. Michal is the wife of David. It comes to the day when they're going to move the Ark of the Covenant from Obed-Edom to Jerusalem. Fantastic. The preparation is complete. Next slide, please. Michal decides she ain't going. Don't get involved with that. I'm a princess. Not for me, thank you very much. But David and thousands of others do. And after sacrificing, making sure they're right with God, they start to move the Ark of the Covenant. And this is what David does. He's wearing a linen ephod. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. This is a serious dancing and singing. And it says that they're shouting and there's sounds of trumpets. There's also, previously there was harps and timbrels and cymbals. The earth is shaking where they're celebrating. And David is going for it full pelt before the Lord. From a window, Michal looks out and sees her husband, the king, and thinks to herself this. She sees him leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him with all her heart. Ugh. It's a very strong word. She despised him, and she stayed in the funk. Wow. The day continues. They get to Jerusalem. They set everything up. They continue the celebration. And David blesses every person there. They get, this is what they get, bread, a loaf of bread, cake of dates, and cake of raisins. I don't know whether that floats your boat, but it did for them. Then everybody goes to their homes. Then David goes to his home And his intention is to bless them. He's still in the vibe. He's still, oh, it's fantastic. The moves were great. Wow, wasn't that amazing? He gets home, ready to bless his household. But Michal comes out and says to him this. And she says it in the most sarcastic voice that she can come up with. How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today. He's going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. Ouch. So David responds in a not a very nice way. Because he says to Michal, princess, don't forget, your dad, Saul, got the boot, and it was me who became the king, not your dad. Now, that's not particularly gracious. Let's move on. Then he says to her this, I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified for God. If half naked dancing around, that's not quite enough. I could have taken it another level. Goodness knows what that is. I'll leave that to your imagination. But I want to go more. I want to be so in God's way that I humiliate myself in my own eyes, let alone anybody else's. And you know those lowly nobodies that you've been talking about, those slave girls? Well, they will hold me in high honor. Ouch. That was the end of the relationship. Micah stayed in that state for the rest of her life. She didn't move on. Go back one, please. She stayed in the ouch. She wasn't happy. She wasn't satisfied. She was too proud. She's too full of herself. She was too important. It wasn't culturally appropriate. He's the king. Come on. She could have changed. There could have been that actively waiting time for blessing, but she didn't. She decided, I'm just staying here. Thank you very much. That's where it is. That's how it should be. Thank you. And in the spirit, that's how it stayed forever. And that's what happens when the tragedy of an out, and we get stuck there. But God says, you need to move on. Give me your ouch. And see what I can do with it. Coming towards an end now. On your screensaver, on the ouch side, can you write these down? Can you flick it for me to the next slide, please? And then the next one after that. There we are, that's perfect. Can you write down these Bible quotes, Isaiah 43, 18 to 19, that's what we did the first week here. God saying, I'm doing a new thing. God can't do a new thing unless you get an ouch sometimes. And then Romans 8, 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. He can even use your biggest ouch for good. Those ouches, when you give it to God, when it starts to help you see it in a different way. What can you learn from it? Where can you see God in it? How do you learn about yourself? How do you learn about God? How do you learn about life? It's a learning opportunity as well. So put that on there. So on your screensaver, your takeaway today, you've got those great moments, those blessed moments. On the back of it, you've got the ouch moments, which you will get if you have not got any ouches. And if you haven't got any ouches, you need to see me afterwards and I'll create a few for you. And go to those verses. Also, for homework, can you add on to it? 2 Samuel chapter 6. Have a read of that and see how David deals with a massive ouch and see how Michal deals with a massive ouch. Quite different. So action points today. You got one in your hand. Take it with you. The mobile screensaver. Another thing you can do is pray. I think we'll do that in a moment. Then next Saturday, we've got a service of loss and healing for anybody who's lost anything over COVID. Holidays. School. There's all sorts of things that have been an ouch over that period of time. It's just opportunity to bring them and to bring them out to God and say, this has been ouch, but I want to move into hope and healing. That's another thing you could do. Next slide, please. The back one, please. This is slide 12. That one. Can we say that together again, please? Jesus will use your ouch for good if you will let him.